History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
.248-539-9797 is a telephone number, same number to text. We're talking about the Detroit Lions here. They're gearing up for training camp. We got the veterans coming in this weekend. The rookies are already there. Still haven't seen anything regarding Tate Ratledge, the Lions' second-round pick, if he's ready to sign or not. Saw that the Bears' second-round pick had signed his deal, which is a rarity among second-round picks, but maybe this is going to start to open things up and more of those second-round picks will sign. The beef is that those guys want to have guaranteed contracts. It's a four-year deal. They want them guaranteed. And the NFL is reluctant to give that to them, which I'm not sure why, given that the number of players that are selected in the second round that don't survive the first contract, it's so few of those guys. I don't know why they don't just guarantee it. It's a league that makes money hand over fist. What are you concerned about? I don't think it really doesn't make any sense to me. But that's the problem they're having. And then you add to that with Cincinnati and their issues they're having with their first round pick and getting him signed, that they don't want to give him the contract that every other first round pick gets is beyond me. But Cincinnati is kind of beyond me and what they're doing. 248-539-9797, a telephone number. James is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing, Gator?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I just want to comment on the Lions. I don't think they're going to regress too much this year. I think it's overblown. The point about Vegas is running the line. So they're going to win. It's going to be 50-50 on each side with the line. But I think the coordinator issue, as far as for the Lions, we got a good running system that we rely on typically. With Ben Johnson, I think he kind of got away with it, away from the running, and I think that's what kind of hit us up at the end. But I don't see too much regression.
I do have concern about the offensive line because you're going to have a new center and basically two new guards. I mean, Mahogany played a lot and Glasgow played a lot, but they might be shuffled around. You know, if Ratledge plays center and then you have those two guys at guards, I think it's going to look interesting. But Ratledge has not played center, didn't play center in college. So it's not that he can't learn the position, but if he's starting from scratch like that there might be a little bit more of a learning curve than we want.
Yeah, but, Clint, I mean, that's a good point. But when you're running the ball, you're not fighting against the defense alignment. You're blowing off the ball. Y'all going a certain way. Everything is you're kind of on offense as far as if on a pass rush.
Correct.
I can affect the passing. But I did want to make another point about the Tigers.
Yeah.
For if I can.
Please.
The Tigers, I think our pitching is concerns has got to do with Jake Rogers not playing as much. Jake Rogers handled the pitching of the chaos, I think, better than what Dylan Dingler is doing. And I think if we could, you know, kind of get him in the mix a little more, I think that'll help our pitching.
That's an interesting thought, James. I appreciate the call. That's not something that I've heard before, and I think it's something to think about. You know, the upside of Dingler is he hits way more than Jake Rogers does, and because Skubal has pitched so well, and Dingler has been catching Skubal. That was really where the concern was because Jake Rogers had kind of been exclusively Skubal's catcher and then didn't start up the season that way because of the injury. It had to go to Dingler, and Dingler was doing just fine. But does it affect the chaos when they have to go off script and start with an opener and then go with a bunch of bullpen arms? Maybe. And does that affect the guys coming out of the bullpen later in games and Dylan Dingler's the catcher instead of Jake Rogers? It might. I'm not going to say it's a complete, you know, absolutely not. I think it might have something to do with it. But I also think that that's something that can be correctable. And I think the, you know, the pitchers that have had the problems with the H's that I did, the four H's out there with Hanafy, Herter, and Holton, and Hernandez, I don't know if it's just simply a catcher issue. I'm not going to discount it because I do think it's something to look at. But I think you have to look at a bunch of other things too, which of course the Tigers do. I mean, Chris Fetter does an amazing job with the pitching staff. AJ Hinch knows what he's doing. This team goes through analytics as much as any other team in baseball, and they'll figure out those problems. I still think they're going to go out and get different bullpen arms for this team, but that's interesting to bring up that part with Jake Rogers. I keep coming back to this text, and I'm curious what the Lions fans feel about this. The unnamed texter who said the Lions are definitely going to regress. There's a lot of fans out there that are going to need therapy that think that this team is headed to the Super Bowl. This is going to be an 8-9 or 9-8 season. I got to tell you, if this guy's right, if this is going to be 8-9 or 9-8 season and this team doesn't make the playoffs, this town will be in meltdown mode because we have built this team up and put them on the pedestal and thought that this team is absolutely 100% a Super Bowl contending team. And I firmly believe that. Now, barring some crazy injury or injuries as they mount up, I don't see how they get to an 8-9 or 9-8 season. I just don't. Even with having new guys in the offensive line, it's not like Mahogany was terrible at guard or even that Glasgow was bad, whether he plays guard or center. Glasgow is actually very good filling in for Rag now when he has over the years at center. And I think Glasgow is a pretty good guard as well. Last year, he had to play left guard because Zeitler was playing the right side. But previously, Glasgow had been a right guard. So I'm wondering if that's the thought, if Ratledge is your starting center, which there should be a learning curve there, but having Glasgow next to him is going to help him out. And if Glasgow's on the right, Mahogany's on the left, that's familiarity with those guys. I still think it's going to take some time before, if Ratledge is the center, that is, to learn all the protections and call them out correctly, but he's going to have help. He's going to have help. But that's a dire prediction. This team is going to be 8-9 or 9-8? How do you feel about that? 248-539-9797. Let's go back to the phones, and Sam is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Sam.
Hey, afternoon, Gator. So I don't think they're going to be 9-8. I think they're going to be either most likely 10-7, but I'm hopeful 11-6, only because of the caliber of quarterbacks that they're going to play on the road. You know, Allen, Mahomes, Burrows. It's just their road schedule is very tough, and they're going to regress. I still think they'll make the playoffs. Super Bowl, I have no idea, but that's just where I'm at.
Yeah, and just to I'll clarify who they do play on the road, because it is a who's who the top quarterbacks in football are. I mean, they're going to play at Baltimore, so you got Lamar Jackson, at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, at Kansas City and you know, Patrick Mahomes, at Washington to take on Jaden Daniels, at Philadelphia to take on Jalen Hurts, at Los Angeles to take on Stafford, let alone the games they have within the division. So that is a brutal stretch of teams that you play on the road that have really, really good quarterback play, which emphasizes even more why this team needs to be as healthy as they can be on defense, and specifically that Aiden Hutchinson returns to form from day one.
Yeah, and I don't agree with the texter guy. You know, people are going to need therapy. I still think they'll make the playoffs. It's just not going to be what everyone thinks it'll be. I'm sure people think, you know, 12-4, 13-3, or whatever, or 13-4, whatever. But I just think it's going to be just a little less than that.
All right, thanks, Sam. We appreciate it. When we get to the, you know, prior to the first week of the season, when we do the season predictions, I'm curious what that number is going to be, and to see how guarded and protected the fans are going to be when they finally come up with that total. You know, right now, My leaning is probably towards an 11-win season, a 10 or 11-win season. I think Vegas' total is pretty spot on with that. But, you know, that list of quarterbacks that they're playing on the road against those teams, that is no joke. The schedule is absolutely no joke for the Detroit Lions. It's going to be a gauntlet. But if they're healthy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Healthy defensively, they should be in pretty good shape to defend them as best they can. And I still think they're going to add to this team at some point. I think they're going to add another edge rusher. I think Za'Darius Smith is the obvious one to go ahead and sign and bring back at some point here in the next couple weeks, that they can get something done. He's still a free agent out there. They've got plenty of cap space to make that work. I expect Aiden Hutchinson to come back healthy and ready to go. But the questions I have are about, you know, rookie Tyleik Williams and what kind of impact he's going to have as a rookie. Is Broderick Martin going to be a force on the defensive line at all? Are we going to see him play? How is Alim McNeil going to be when he comes back? When is he going to come back? How long is it going to take for him to actually feel like his old self again? Is it going to be into December before that happens? And if that happens then, and the team is in good shape, it doesn't matter. It just really what matters is the health of this team going into the playoffs. It'd be great to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I don't expect that this year from this Lions team. Last year, yes. This year, no, I don't expect it. But if this team can stay healthy going into the playoffs, they can wreck anybody's dreams. It's a really, really, really good roster. And if they don't add in the next couple weeks to like the edge rusher position, like I'm saying with Za'Darius Smith, maybe something happens at the trade deadline because, like I said, they still have all this cap space. And if you're looking to add somebody, you're going to need cap space to do it, and they can. And there's also, you know, some players that people still covet that are available. And there's one report that came out yesterday that when I saw it, I went, uh-oh. But we'll bring it up to you next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.